everybody. It is Vix, the Angel of Metal, your host for The Killer Show, and live on 103.2 Preston FM. And I have got a very, very cool guy and a very, very special guest on the show, and he goes by the name of Jason Hook. Hello.
Good morning. Well, it's good morning for me, I guess.
It's good evening over here, man.
Okay, there you go. What time is it exactly for you?
It's 5 p.m.
5 p.m.?
Yes,
all
it's
right.
Tea time.
It's 9 a.m. for me. I'm in Las Vegas, standing on a rooftop with my coffee and my slippers.
Don't rub it in, mate.
With the day off. How's that?
Oh, that's cool. That's all right.
Yeah.
We love Dave's off here on The Killer Show.
Nice.
Cool. So what are you doing in Las Vegas, man?
Well, I'm with this my band, Five Finger Death Punch, and most of the guys live here in Vegas, and we're just about halfway through recording our second record.
Awesome. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so we're doing it in Vegas. I'm actually from Los Angeles, so I packed up all my stuff and moved into the other guitar player's house for, well, it's been about a month and a bit now, and it'll be another month before he gets rid of me.
Cool. Well, let's take it way back to, what would you say, your breakthrough? I mean, you played guitar for Alice Cooper, man. That's pretty cool. I would give you a high five right now, but I can't, so feel the high five from over there.
Yeah, no, I think I remember specifically, he has a very strong, loyal support fan base in the UK. I think there's one of his more well-known fan bases, or fan groups, or sites, maybe, is the Six Things, maybe, out of the UK?
Probably, yeah.
And every time we came over there, it was such a great time, and the fans were so good, and the turnouts were great, and if anyone's listening and they saw the show, I guess we were there. We came through with Joan Jett and Motorhead, maybe in 2007, I think it was.
You was on his Along Came the Spider tour, and that was, of course, his latest album, and that was actually one of the first tracks that we played off his latest album, which is called I Am the Spider.
Yeah, I think I heard the tail end of it as we were cutting the phone call, yeah.
Yeah, man, it's cool. So for me, I mean, I'm personally scared of spiders, so when I heard the title of the album, I was like, I can't listen to this, and I love Alice Cooper. It's not happening.
Well, yeah, spiders are okay, as long as they're not in your bed or in your mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Alice is pretty much famous for his theatrical performances, and I've done quite a lot of theatre in the past. So did you enjoy, like, the theatrics of the performance of Alice Cooper?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've played in so many bands, and one of the challenges of playing live concerts is just holding people's attention. Obviously, if they're a fan, they're enjoying the music. But the great thing about being in Alice's band is that he took it to the next level, where he made sure that you were stimulated visually at every step of the way. So, you know, people have been loyal and will turn out to see him every time he comes through town, because he's always changing up the visuals, and it's almost like there's a specific visual that goes with every song in the set. So I found myself, like, a lot of time watching the show while I was trying to perform the show.
That must be pretty hard, man.
Yeah, it's like kind of distracting, you know. It's like, you know, the audience really wasn't as interesting to look at for an hour and 40 minutes as the show was, so I had to remind myself, look forward, don't look sideways, you know.
I have to hold my hands on it. I've never seen one of his shows live, but I've certainly heard quite a few stories from, you know, friends and especially family who saw him, like, back in the 70s and 80s and whatever.
The first quarter of the show was basically a rock show, where it was mainly, I mean, it opens up with a strong visual. The theme of the last tour, and I think it'll be changed so I can give away all the secrets, but the theme of the last tour, I think, was Alice Kills Alice. And so it opens up with him stabbing a lookalike of himself behind a silhouette screen, and then from there on, we're kind of just jamming some rock songs, and then about halfway through, it starts to get into the Welcome to My Nightmare, where you've got zombies kind of staggering around the stage, and then there's like a Only Women Bleed, where his daughter comes out and he beats her up into Steven, and then there's like a Cold Ethel thing with a doll, and then the climax of the show, he hangs himself from a 14-foot gallows.
Yeah, I heard about that. Well, it sounds quite cool and very nice conversation
Yeah,
for like five in the evening for the UK.
You should have heard me trying to explain the show to my mother. You'll love it.
That was pretty cool, man. Out of interest, what's your favorite Alice Cooper song to perform?
You know, it's funny. I've been asked this question a lot, and there's just so many songs to pick from. But I think I sort of default to Billion Dollar Babies because it's a pretty busy song, and it has a lot of interesting guitar work in it. And so I felt it was exciting and challenging. So I kind of like that one. And yeah, probably that one.
Okay, well, we're going to take a short break now while I try and cool down because it's piping hot in the studio today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So we're going to play Billion Dollar Babies from Alice Cooper, and Jason's going to stay on the line, and we're going to be talking about his other band now, Five Finger Death Punch, which he said that they're currently in the studio. So you're going to hang on, man?
Yes.
Awesome stuff. Well, stay tuned, everybody, and here's your Billion Dollar Babies. Oh, yes, that was Alice Cooper with Billion Dollar Babies. And that was actually Jason's favourite song to perform live, and I have got him on the line. Hello?
Hello.
How you doing, man?
Very good.
How's sunny Las Vegas? Come on, make us all feel jealous here in the UK.
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of looking at a mountainscape, and I was sleeping up until about 30 minutes ago. I feel pretty good. I'm glad I'm up. And the sun is out, and I have my coffee, and I'm on a rooftop, actually, staring out at across Vegas. So there you have it.
Well, whatever goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas, as we know.
That's right.
Well, let's talk about Five Finger Death Punch, but just before we do, how does touring differ with the Alice Cooper Band to Five Finger Death Punch?
Well, that's a good question, actually. Look, here's the net breakdown on that is that Alice Cooper, he's been touring for many decades, and he spends money to ensure that he's comfortable and that everyone else is comfortable. And what I mean by that is that, you know, that we stay in 5-star hotels. There's multiple buses, and you know, it's really designed to make everybody comfortable. With Death Punch, because I'm a partner in the business, we do everything to keep the money in our pockets. Yeah, we're obviously at a different stage in our career than Alice is, so instead of all the excess spending, we do a lot of excess saving, if that makes sense. So we skip hotels when we can stay on a bus, and you know, we kind of make sure that most of the money that we can get our hands on stays in the band account for other things that we need to build the business.
Yeah, so it's kind of like you're starting out like an underground band who's just getting there, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could, you know, we're in control. I mean, that's the primary difference for me personally is that I'm in a situation where I can control it.
Yeah, for sure.
Pick it up now. So when it comes to, you know, if you're opening a coffee shop, you know, you don't put marble countertops and gold-plated seats in the first year. You wait, you know.
Now, I know that you're old friends with Jeremy, who is in Five Finger Death Punch, and he works with you on your award-winning solo guitar album. How cool.
Yeah. I've been friends with Jeremy for, I don't know, 13, 14 years. And, you know, he's a big reason why I'm actually in the group now. We've been talking about it for a long time, and the opportunity came up, and here I am. But, yeah, Jeremy has played on just about everything musical I've ever done. And there was a second solo record that we just finished that's not out yet. But, yeah, he was on the first one as a writer, performer, and co-producer.
What is it with like musicians just like gelling together? Is he like your musical soulmate or something?
Yeah, well, I don't mean that to sound funny, but the truth is, you know, sometimes you meet a lot of musicians, and if you're lucky, you really connect with a few of them, and where you share a lot of similarities and a lot of likes and a lot of opinions and tastes, you know, and I just sort of found that in him. We like all the same stuff, and if I like something, he's already listening to it, and vice versa, and I trust him, you know. So when I'm questioning something that I'm working on, I'll go, I have to ask him, and he'll go, oh yeah, definitely cut that out, definitely lose that idea.
that's quite good that you've actually found somebody who can criticize you and yet can like bring you off, if you get what I mean.
Yes, no, I'm pretty excited. I think that's you know, we're working on this Death Punch record right now, and I think that we've kind of expanded to a threesome where it's Zoltan and Jeremy and myself, and three of us seem to be the nucleus of the writing team for this group. So it's been exciting to expand to one more person.
Okay, well, let's quickly talk about this new album that you're currently recording. Have you got any idea on which direction you're going to take it?
Well, yeah, we do. I don't know if I should say, but it's going to be, you know, Death Punch is metal, and we like to play that kind of heavy, aggressive music. So there's definitely going to be more of that. That's what we do. We are exploring a few other areas. We're not sure how much of it's going to be included, but it's just more of a melodic area, I guess, just to see how it turns out. But we've already locked in the heavy stuff, and it sounds pretty killer, so it won't be too much of a stray off the first record.
We were talking off air, listeners, and we were talking about when Five Finger Death Punch were on the Metal Hammer's Defenders of the Faith tour, which was the second year running, I believe. And on the lineup we had Lamb of God, Dimmu Borgir, Unearthed, and yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Out of interest, what did you think of Dimmu Borgir?
What did I think of them? I thought they were interesting looking, you know? They were, you know, you have to forgive me, I'm not that familiar with their music, so it was kind of, I was exposed to it for the first time personally. I know the other guys are sort of more in tune with the black metal thing, but the, you know, I thought they played real well, and they have a pretty compelling visual show. I didn't get to meet any of the guys personally, but, I mean, they're doing it, you know, what can I say? They're popular.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I saw him at Bloodstock last year because they were headlining, and saw him again, evidently, at Defenders. But the date that I would have gone down to was the Manchester date. And do you recall anything from that show that sticks out?
From that show specifically?
Or in the tour generally, but Manchester would be nice.
I'm trying to think. Honestly, not so much. I mean, it just sort of becomes a blur, you know. But I do remember, I mean, we were on a tight schedule, so a lot of times we would play and then we'd leave because we had other things to do the next day and we had to get out of there. So as much as we wanted to stay and watch the show, we didn't really get the opportunity that often.
Okay, well, that kind of sucks. I think that's one of the downfalls of touring, though.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we were over there trying to have a full schedule of... you know, we had meet and greets and interviews and stuff like that during the day. So we had to, you know, we were on our own schedule and we had our own agenda. But, you know, we did get to see the show a few times. And I was really impressed with Lamb of God. I thought they were pretty ferocious.
Yeah, they were. Well, during Lamb of God's set, I think into the first two songs, about three people passed out and had to be dragged out of the building, which, of course, is bad. But, you know, that's how intense it was.
Yeah, I did notice that it was a pretty densely packed audience, and there was a lot of swinging and running and bashing, and it was, you know, I think people should understand that if you can't take that, you should probably stay back.
I think there should be like a health and safety warning guide to gigs.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I guess those people will now know, I guess.
OK, Okay. Well, let's move on then. And what do you think? I mean, I certainly got my own views on this, but when I first heard of Five Finger Death Punch was in about 2007, so that would be the Way of the Fist album, which was, you know, the debut. But what do you think that Five Finger Death Punch brings to the heavy music scene at the moment?
Well, you know, I really love the band, and I see it taking effect. You know, I mean, I think the root of the success is songs, songs and live performance. I mean, but you know, when I watched the band, I was just really impressed with the extreme energy level over a lot of other bands I had seen. So that's really it. You know, it's like you get a bunch of you know, hungry guys that are serious about what they're doing and are interested in high quality writing and performing, and sort of we sort of go for the throat, you know. And I think that I think it shows, you know. It's a very good pool of talent, you know. I'm proud to be with these guys, and they're very good at what they do. And there's more to it than that. I mean, there's marketing and graphic work, and it's just a really cool thing. And I think that the people are picking up on that for sure.
Well, we're going to be playing a tune off the Way of the Fist album, and the song's called Ashes. I've got a few more cues for Jason, so would you like to stay on the line, man?
Sure.
Awesome sauce. Well, we're going to be playing the Ashes. I hope you enjoy, guys, and this is Five Finger Death Punch.
Right! Eight! Bring it!
All right, everybody, we're back, and I've got Jason Hook on the line, the guitarist from Five Finger Death Punch. Hello.
Hello.
That was a pretty cool tune, man, The Ashes.
The Ashes. I love it. It's officially renamed The Ashes.
Awesome. But you were telling me that one of your bandmates thinks it's the most brutal tune to play.
Well, yeah, it's me. I'm the one who thinks it's brutal to play. Actually, Zoltan is the... sort of the founder of the group, and he's the other guitar player, and probably one of my favorite guitar players I've ever heard. I mean, he has this ferocious rhythm thing that I haven't heard before. It's like this super fast, articulate rhythm sense, and I knew coming into this that it would be a challenge, which is always, you know, I'm always up for a challenge. But the one song that I struggled with was, well, I think I have it now, but it's Way of the Fist. And I don't know what the actual BPM of the song is, but it certainly gives your right arm a burning sensation after about 3 minutes.
It does. I mean, when I first heard it, I got, like, goosebumps, and that was when I was, like, 16, and it was amazing. Good tune.
Yeah, well, great. I'm glad you like it. I mean, it's, you know, I like the record, period, but that one was sort of like a super high-energy, aggressive metal song, and I think that a lot of people feel the same way.
You're going to be coming back to the UK for Download this year, and, of course, you're going to be doing a European tour in June, which is cool. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah. I mean, we were just there in February. At laying some groundwork, so it'll be nice to come over and hop on these festivals, because I know that the audiences are going to be huge, and I think what I heard was in between the festival shows, where there'll be some gaps, we're going to jump on opening for Korn. I think Korn's going to be over there, and we'll be opening for them in between.
Ooh, that's quite cool. Well, Korn are actually down for playing at Download, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, great. Awesome.
Yeah, have you actually ever been to the legendary Donington Monsters of Rock Festival?
No, I haven't. I mean, I'm well aware of it, but no, I've never been to any of that stuff.
So it's going to be like your first time and you're playing. That's cool.
I know. I mean, it's going to be very special for all of us, and I'm really looking forward to it, yeah.
What do you enjoy most about playing festivals?
What do I enjoy most? Well, it's you have the rare opportunity to get in front of these, like, super large audiences. I mean, there's, you know, some people say, you know, 15,000 is a big crowd, until you play for, you know, 50,000. Then you say, well, that's kind of a rare and special thing, and that's kind of one of those moments where you're on stage going, you know, keep your eyes open and absorb the whole thing, because if they only come up every once in a while, you know, it's kind of a cool thing.
Do you prefer, like, playing at venues or playing to the masses, like at festivals?
You know, I don't know if I can really say. Each gig is its own unique experience. I mean, sometimes it connects with my heart, at the risk of sounding a little corny, but it's all about a feeling, you know, and sometimes you could have everything should be perfect, but you don't walk away with a feeling, or you could be in some little dive bar and you walk away with the best feeling and there was, like, you know, 500 people there. So for me personally, it's really just about how I feel each gig went as a unique experience. But I do, if you had to ask me, which you did, I do like the big shows, just because it's kind of like, you know, you can fantasize that you're the headliner.
It's not only that, though. I mean, the mass people population, I mean, you get a buzz off that, surely.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, like, I have played big shows where the audience just doesn't seem to be there emotionally, so it's kind of like, you know, it's not, it didn't work the way you had anticipated. But I think with this group, and, like, again, I'm still fairly new, but with this group, I anticipate that the big shows will be even crazier. I mean, we've blown up little clubs where people are stage diving off of a stage that's no more than a foot and a half high, you know, so it's like, I can't wait, you know.
Mental, absolutely mental. Well, I don't know if you know, but you probably do know, because it was announced just a few days ago, actually, but Five Finger Death Punch are nominated for a Metal Hammer's Golden God Award for the Best New Band.
Yeah, I saw that. That's awesome.
That's pretty cool, man. How long have actually Five Finger Death, well, you and Five Finger Death Punch been together?
I came in at the beginning of the year, just about January. I mean, we'd been talking about this for a while now, both of us sort of had to wait for the right opportunity, because we're, you know, they had their other guitar player and I was doing something else. So it really sort of all came together January of this year.
Okay, well, and already you've been nominated for a Best New Band Award. That's pretty cool.
Well, I'd love to take credit for it, but the truth is they've done a lot of work to get that nomination. So all I can hope is that, you know, if we win the award, that'll be really exciting for everybody, and hopefully the second record will be done and we can feel good about that when that's out, you know.
Are the guys going to be down for the award?
Are we going to be around for the actual show?
Yeah, like the ceremony sort of thing.
That's an excellent question. I want to say yes, because we're over there, but I can't say yes for sure. But I'm hoping we are. I think that was the plan. I just don't know if it's changed.
Well, hopefully you will, because fingers crossed I might be, but hey, you never know. I'm like way up north compared to London.
Right. What's the date of the show?
I'm not too sure. I can't think of the top of my head, but I'm sure it's going to be on Metal Hammer's website. So all you crazy fans out there, make sure you keep checking back to the website.
And vote, too.
And vote, yeah, of course. I'll vote as well.
Yeah, right on.
Well, another favourite tune of mine from the Way of the Fist album is, of course, The Bleeding. And I believe that you've, reshot a music video for it. And apparently it's going to be due to be featured on a forthcoming movie called Highgate Vampire.
Yeah, that was something that just got put together recently. I don't know too much about that, although I know that they're, I guess the people that were involved with the film had asked if they could use this song. Of course, it's about vampires, and our song is called The Bleeding, so, you know, you can sort of put two and two together there. But and then I guess they wanted to make a new music video with some excerpts from the old video and some clips from the movie, so I have yet to see it, but I'm excited about it.
Okay. Do you think sometimes when, metal songs and bands, you know, feature on, like, a film, like, movie soundtrack like that, it kind of, like, heightens the genre itself?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, movies and television, they reach a lot of people, and when the two become intertwined, I think it's a good opportunity to gain a lot of exposure that bands like ourselves may not have the opportunity to. So that's a good thing, I'm sure.
Very cool. Well, we're going to be playing this tune now. It's called The Bleeding, and it's done by Five Finger Death Punch. Jason's going to stay on the line, and we're going to be talking about some of his solo stuff. Gosh, I love that tune. That was Five Finger Death Punch with The Bleeding, and I've got their guitarist on the line. It's Jason Hook. Hello.
Hello. Good morning for me. Good afternoon for you.
Let's talk about your solo stuff. It's called Safety Dunce. Well, your last album was, anyway.
Yeah. So funny. I mean, that thing has been done for so long now that it's like, it's kind of, it's time for something new anyway. But just prior to joining the Death Punch, I kind of had I have another one finished, the second record, which I did with Jeremy, and features my buddy Zoltan from the Death Punch band on one track. And writing and recording is a passion of mine, so I always have to be doing it. So that's how these things get made, and it's just really just for me to you know, jerk around in my studio and have fun and make music that that I get off on. And it just so happens that I finished the second one, and I'll put it out as soon as we're solid on this new Death Punch record.
Cool. It sounds like you're constantly like involved with music. I mean, even when you're not touring or gigging, you're in the studio either with the, you know, the band or your solo stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the, I mean, I hate to sound cliche, but music sort of connected with me at a very early age. And you know, when it's, when things are good with music, things just seem to be good, period. And when, you know, when things are not happening with music, I find myself just not happy. So I'm always looking to, you know, to generate some sort of feeling as a result of writing and recording and listening and jamming. And I think that's, I think those are the people that really find their, the path to success, is the people that do it for the love of it and love first, you know?
I totally agree with that. I'm like that with what I do with like the e-zine and the internet radio thing and the whole radio shindig. That my actual passion is to actually become a PR agent sort of thing, but that's what I'm going to university to do.
Oh, cool, there you go.
But you got to be like pretty on the ball with it all the time.
A PR agent, yeah, well maybe when you get to that level, we'll talk.
Totally. You do know that I will hold you to that.
Mm-hmm. I insist.
Cool. From this new album, I mean, actually, first off, I want to talk to you about the artwork from your first album.
Oh.
You've got a sick sense of humor, man.
Yes, I do. And, well, here's the thing. It's like, when you make your own record, you're almost guaranteed that people are not going to listen to it or not even going to pay attention to it. So it really just came down to, like, what can we put on the cover? I mean, it's not like there was big label support or big, you know, a big campaign budget or anything. So we were like, what can I put on the front cover that at least might make people pick it up and look at it and hopefully listen to it? And so I think I succeeded. And then after that, when it sort of took on a more serious path, I had a distribution deal for it and whatnot. I think we all agreed it was time to upgrade the cover. So I'm assuming you have the old version with the wheelchair thing on the front.
Yeah, I have seen it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I have a new there's a new cover now. That's all I can say.
Okay, care to explain?
Well, the new cover, the old cover. Yeah, it's just, you know, I saw that on a T-shirt. I thought it was really funny, and that was for me.
Yeah, and what about the new one?
I don't have artwork for that yet.
Okay. All right. Well, let's actually talk about this new album. Is it finished, out of interest?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I think all the material's done. I have to sort of clean it up and do a mix, and then we're done. I just, you know, my priority right now is to get this Death Punch thing the second record for Death Punch done, and then I'll come back and worry about that later. But it's the music's ready and then recorded. It was something that I had just finished right before I joined the band. So,
what can we expect from the solo album?
What can you expect? Well, it's high energy, aggressive. It's instrumental music, and you know, it's not too far off the path of Death Punch. I mean, it's a little, maybe a little busier, and obviously there's no vocals on it. But I'm a big fan of that sort of low-tuned, rhythmic guitar playing. So there's more of that on the second album than on the first, and I think it actually ties into Death Punch well, in my opinion.
I'm totally looking forward to it, and we've actually got a track from it and called American Justice, which we're going to be playing in a bit. But my last few questions, well, you said earlier on that you were from Los Angeles. Well, you were actually from Canada, weren't you, originally?
Yeah.
Okay, and evidently you would know the Killer Dwarves.
Yeah, I was in that band for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, you did?
No, I didn't know that actual fact. I knew that you kind of like had something to do with them.
Well, those guys are friends of mine, and they're from Toronto, where I was born and raised. And at some point, I got hooked up with them. They had lost a guitar player and needed somebody to tour a short run with them, and I was pulled in, and I had a great time with those guys. I mean, they're a lot of fun. And then after it, when it was done, I went on to do some other things. We've all stayed in touch ever since. I just saw them maybe a year ago when I was up there touring with Alice.
That's cool. Well, just the other week, I actually had Daryl Dwarf Miller on my show.
I love it.
Yeah, he's so funny.
Yeah, he's great.
And he was actually telling me a little tale that all the members from Killer Dwarf actually had... Dwarf as their like middle name.
Yeah.
So out of interest, do you have Jason Dwarf Hawk?
Well, no, just Jason Dwarf.
Ah.
No, actually, that was something that that we joked about when I was in the group, but it never really stuck. But yeah, that was their little gimmick back in the 80s.
It's cool. But I was interviewing him about his new band Automan, and out of interest, have you heard of him?
Yeah, of course. I think I have the disc. He gave it to me when I was up there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. I like the guitar player a lot.
Yeah, and to see Daryl, you know, coming from the drums to the actual, you know, front line as leading man, it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. I mean, you don't see that too often, but it certainly has been successful for, you know, people like Dave Grohl and Phil Collins and whatnot. So there you go. And I'm going to say go Dunk, because that's a joke.
For sure, man. But another Canadian band that we did talk about was, of course, Anvil.
Yeah.
And the total publicity like surrounding their documentary.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see that, actually. I think it just came out here maybe a week or two ago. And I've heard like it's a must-see, so I think we'll have to rally the troops and go find it somewhere at a theater here.
Yeah, I've heard it's quite good. I've not personally seen it. But one of the, he's quite famous here in the UK. I don't know if you've heard of somebody called Jonathan Ross.
Jonathan Ross? No, I can't say I have.
Okay, fair enough. He's just got some TV show. It doesn't really matter. but he's just kind of like a film review show. And he actually saw Anvil and thought it was like a Spinal Tap film.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Like, thought it was fabricated?
Yeah, and then he actually began to realise that it was actually a real band, and he didn't realise that there are a lot of bands out there who do actually live like that.
Yeah, well, see, now I have to see it. I'll have to go find it. I think it's, I saw a clip or trailer from it on the internet, and it did look a little Spinal Tap-ish.
I think that's just Lips and Rob for you.
Yeah.
he was actually so fascinated about the band that he actually bought an album, so that's pretty cool. Do you think that now the metal is kind of like getting to the mainstream audience? I mean, Maiden have got a documentary coming out called Flight 666.
Yeah, I do. I mean, there's something about metal that is real, you know, and all these other genres, pop music, and you know, a lot of these things are they blow up right out of the gate, and it was and there isn't a lot of cake there. It's a lot of icing, you know. And the thing about metal is that, like we discussed earlier, people play that kind of music not to get rich. I mean, sometimes yes, that can happen, but I mean, it seems to stem from something other than commercial success, because you know, with heavy aggressive music like that, it's a harder path, and so that sort of transmits to the audience, and it's believable, you know.
I absolutely agree, and what I like about it is that it's a very passionate genre of music.
Yeah, the fans are dedicated and loyal and committed, and you can have a long, solid career just because of the fans and their dedication.
Absolutely. So horns on high to all you metalheads out there.
Oh, yeah, horns high.
Okay, and my last question is, do you have any non-metal influences, like any guilty pleasures?
Yeah, I do, and the guys in my band would cringe.
Come on, they're all asleep at the moment, so they won't be able to hear.
Well, I mean, they all know I'm a Kiss fan, so that's not too far off the beaten path. I mean, back when I was a young person, they you know, they were kind of the biggest thing on the planet, and it was hard to ignore them. I'll just say that. And I just liked it. It was you know, it was blood and sweat and rock and roll and fire and explosions. And as a young person, I thought, oh, that's what I want to do. That's cool. I'll take it.
Yeah, Kiss basically push every little boy's buttons, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it was aggressive, and I loved it. And I was like, you know, so, you know, I'm kind of over it now, but I do still have an appreciation for the way it made me feel when I was in that influential time period, you know.
Okay, cool. Well, you'll be happy to know that Kiss actually headlined Download last year.
Yeah, I don't suppose they're coming around again this year, huh?
And Five Finger Death Punch are going to be playing there. I think it's in June, off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well, I won't be licking the stage or anything weird, but I did open. We played a co-headlining show with Kiss when I was with Cooper. That was pretty exciting in New Zealand. So I got to sort of, you know, hang out all day with them, and we shared the stage with them. So that was kind of a thrill for me.
Awesome. Well, we're going to be playing a new track off. Well, I think it's off your upcoming CD, isn't it? American Justice.
Yeah. Brace yourself.
Okay, I'm bracing myself. Well, thank you, Jason, so much for coming on the show.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on. And to all the knuckleheads out there, we'll see you in June at the Download.
For sure. And check out more on Jason on his website, so jasonhook.net. And you can check out more on his MySpace as well, so myspace.com/jasonhookmusic. So thank you, Jason, again for taking time out to this interview.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Oh, and a big shout-out, sorry, I've just remembered, to Jared and Susie, who are driving down to London, I believe, at the moment, and also as well to Tina and Willie.
Thanks, you guys, for listening, and have yourself a great evening. How's that?
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you, Jason, again. This is America Justice of the upcoming brand-new CD from Jason Hook. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I implemented our government's plans of aggression and murder with skill and without remorse. The United States is also showing a threat to all. We choose death and torture. All of us want war and misery to show the world the definition of American justice.